All right, Tawassa, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Mem Zayin, but we're actually going to start from Mem Vav Amud Beis. So, if you remember, again, we left off yesterday in the sugya concerning concerning Kali Hora, that the Gemara quoted a number of different rabbinic opinions and discussed whenever A argues against B or B argues against C, that the Paskin like one of the opinions in a particular circumstance. So Rav Misharshia rejected this particular principle. Rav Misharshia says that we don't hold of these ideas. So the what Rav Misharshia essentially says is that each and every case is really dealt with on its own merit. So the Gemara now says the following. The Gemara says, Elameha. So we're picking up six lines up from the bottom. Elameha. I'm going to try to understand, why does Rav Misharshia feel that these principles don't apply? Elameha, this time, I'll say, we'll see this Mishnah later on. Ir shal yachid, if you have a city that was owned by an individual. Vinasis shal rabim, and then it becomes a public city. So ma'arvin es kula. You can make an eruv throughout. And I will say, we'll see later on when we do this Mishnah. We're not going to get into this now. But ma'arvin over here actually means shituf muvos. Actually means the ability to make a shituf, which we call an eruv also, between the different muvos in the city. Or the shituf muvos, which means, again, remember all of the chatziros joined into a joint eruv in order to allow transport in and out of the mavoi. So the Gemara says that ma'arvin es kula. But if you have a city that belonged to the general public, the rabbin, and then it was bought by an individual, ein ma'arvin eskula. You can't make an eruv in the entire city. You can't do the sheet of mavoz. Ela im kein ose chutzala ki'ir chadasha shebi Yehuda. So we'll say, interestingly enough, when the city belonged to the rabbin and then became property of the yachid, so we're concerned that people will forget about the concept of chutzal that you're not allowed to carry, so therefore you can't be ma'arev the entire city. You have to leave one part outside of the Eruv. I don't know who draws the short straw in terms of who gets left out of the Eruv, but okay. And how much do you have to leave outside of the Eruv? Ki'ir chadasha shebi Yehuda, like a new city, like the city of Chadash, that's actually the name of the city. Like the city of Chadash in Yehuda, sheyesh ba chamishim diyurim, that has 50 residents. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, these are words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says no. Now Rabbi Shimon agrees in principle that when the ir shal rabin becomes the ir shal yachid, you can only make an eruv if you go out and you leave out part of the city in order that the concept of eruv be remembered. However, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the amount of city you have to leave outside of the eruv. He says it's enough to leave shalosh chatzeros shal shnei batin. It's enough to leave three chatzeros with each chatzer having two homes. Va'amarav chamavar goriya amarav halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. And Rav Chaim bar Guria said the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara says, "Uman polig alei." Now who's arguing on Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Huda, v'ha amrit Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon halacha Rabbi Huda. So yet we just said before that whenever there's machlokes Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, the halacha follows Rabbi Huda. And what did the Gemara just say? The halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Osei said, now the Gemara is suggesting that this is why Rav Misharshia says that the principles we espoused before are not accepted principles. And here's a raya, because one of the principles we said before is that whenever Rabbi Yehuda argues in Rabbi Shimon, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. And that the Gemara, just said the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. To which the Gemara says, "My kushya, what's the question? Dilma hacha nami hecha di itmar itmar hecha de lo itmar lo itmar." The Gemara says, "I don't understand why getting into such a fuss about this." We'll give the same answer we gave before. When do the principles kick in? The principles kick in when the Gemara does not reach a conclusion. When the Gemara reaches a conclusion, the Gemara reaches a conclusion. But when there's no conclusion, that's when the Gemara uses the Klali Hora, these different rules that we establish as to the halacha follows. Elameha. Rather, Rav Misharshi rejects these principles from here, based on this following case. This nine. Hamaniach es beisa. Was another interesting case that we'll get to. These are all Erev Chatzeros cases, which we have not yet really gotten to. So the Gemara says, Hamaniach es beisa. If someone goes ahead and leaves his home, multiple people live in the same chatzer. Remember, and for an Erev Chatzeros, everyone participates in the Erev Chatzeros. So let's say now someone left their house for Shabbos to go and spend Shabbos in another city. Echad Nachri, the Echad Yisra. Whether the resident who left is a Jew, or whether ultimately he's a Gentile. So the halacha is, Oser libnei Chatzeros divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, the fact that he's no longer there and he didn't participate in the Eruv makes it impossible for the, or oser makes it oser for the other members of the chatzur. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. It's the third line down in Rashi. Oser abnei chatzeros shelo yotziu mibateihen lechatzur. He prevents them from carrying from their homes into the chatzur. Nipnei sheyesh lo rishus bechatzur, because he owns rights in the chatzur. Va'af api she'ino be'ir oser aleihem im lo irev kodem shachzur. I will say, Rabbi Meir suggests that lemaisa, if someone leaves town without participating in the Erev Chatzeros, he precludes everyone else from carrying in the Chatzer, because since Erev Chatzeros is predicated on the idea that everybody joins together, thereby making it the Rishus of one person, if one person does not join in, he ruins it for everybody else. And the interesting part is it's true even if it doesn't matter, Jew or non-Jew. Rabbi Huda says, Eina Oser. Rabbi Huda says, no, not true. Rabbi Huda's logic is, because since the guy is not in the city, it's like he's mochel his rights. Because he's not in the city, it's like he's mochel his rights. Rabbi Huda, obviously, each of these cases is a sugya unto itself. So obviously, I'm not doing it justice now. I'm just giving you just very little information in order to understand what the Gemara is trying to do. Rabbi Yossi says, Nochri Oser, Yisrael Eino Oser. So Rabbi Yossi says, a non-Jew who leaves town before Shabbos and does not go ahead and participate in the Eruv will prevent the Eruv from taking effect for everyone else, but Yisrael will not. Why? Mipnei She'in Derech Yisrael Lavo B'Shabbos. Because also there's a fundamental difference. B'Pashtos, if a Jew is away for Shabbos, he's not coming back. Not coming back for Shabbos. Of course, on the other hand, so the non-Jew may very well come back on Shabbos, and therefore Rabbi Yossi said, again, if the Jew is gone, then we assume he's just mochel as rishus, and therefore even if he didn't participate in the Erev is good. If the non-Jew did not participate in the Erev, because he may actually come back on Shabbos, that ruins the Erev for everybody else. Rabbi Shimon says, Afilu hinyach es beisol v'holoch lishbos eitzel bito ba'osa ha'ir. Rabbi Shimon goes so far to say that's what? Even if he left his home, and went to spend Shabbos by his daughter. Who lives in that same city. And I will say, now the reason why that is interesting is because, again, remember, now, if she lives in the same city, then what? There's always the possibility that he'll come home. He could stop by at home. Nevertheless, Eino Oser, it still doesn't Oser, Shekvar Hisiach Daito. Because since he's away for Shabbos, the assumption is he's removed his mind from his home. But Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav, Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon, and Rav Chama Bar Gurya said, who does the Halacha follow in this particular case? The Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was the one who said, right, Rabbi Shimon was one of the last opinion who stated that even if he just went to his daughter in the same city, the Maisa, he still doesn't ask her, because we assume that he just gave up his rights in the Chatzar because he doesn't plan on coming back on Shabbos. Uman Poligale, who argues on Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda, Baha Omrit, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, Allah, Rabbi Huda. But one second, so Rabbi Sharshia will say, but Rabbi will say, again, what did we say in the principles on Amud Beis? The principles on Amud Beis said that whenever Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon argue, the Allah follows Rabbi Huda. Here the Gemara just said, the Allah follows Rabbi Shimon. To which the Gemara says, my Kushya, why is it such a problem for you? Dil mahach inami, hecha de itmar itmar, hecha de lo itmar lo itmar. So again, Rabbi will say, the Gemara keeps giving the same exact answer. Remember, the principles are not put in place in a vacuum. The principles are there to help us resolve ambiguity when the Gemara does not reach a conclusion. But if the Gemara reaches a conclusion, then of course that conclusion stands. Elameha, rather of Misharshia rejected these principles because of the following case. This not, we learned. Vizehu sha'amru ha'ani ma'ari viraglov. This is what we said when we mentioned that the ani can make an eruv tchumen with his feet. I will say, what does that mean? That, remember, one of the ways that you make an Eruv is you go ahead and you stand in a particular place until Shabbos, and you begin Shabbos standing in a particular place. That establishes that place as your Makum Shavisa, as your domicile, and you have $2,000 from there. Rabbi Meir Omer says, Anu Ein Lanu Ela Ani. And Rabbi Meir says, as far as we know, this only works for an ani. Why? Because we'll say, what's the logic there? Because the assumption is that maybe an ani doesn't have food to spare to make an eruv tchumen, and therefore we give a special dispensation and allow for the ani to make an eruv with his feet. Rabbi Huda says, no. Echad ani ve'echad asher. No, anyone can make a makom shviso with their physical presence. Lo amru ma'arvin bepas, ela lahakel ela asher shelo yetze v'yari beraglo. So Rabbi Meir actually flips it. Rabbi Meir says, not Rabbi Meir, excuse me, Rabbi Yehuda flips. Rabbi Yehuda says, actually, the ikar way to make an Eruv is with your body. The only reason why the rabbis allowed you to make it for food is why? Actually, to make your life easier. Because we'll say, what do you do with food? Right? You go there sometime on Friday, you put it there, and what? And you go home. And you go home. So it's actually to make it easier on the Ashir. Umasni l'Rav Chiya bar Ashi l'Chiya bar Rav, kamei d'Rav. And Rav Chiya bar Ashi taught this. L'Chiya bar Rav, in the presence of Rav, echad ani, ve'echad Ashir. Whether you're an ani or whether you're an Ashir, you can go out and make your Eruv with your physical presence. Va'amiru Rav said, Siim ba nami halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, and Rav said, "Let's establish that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda." To which the Gemara says, "Tarti lamali, why do I need both of these statements?" Meaning, Rabosai, it's clear based on the Klal Yehora earlier that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. If the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, then why did Rav Chiya bar Ashi have to go ahead and say? Excuse me, why did Rav have to say that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda? Va'amrit Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Right, Rabbi Yehuda, again, based on the Klali Horah and Amud Beis, we say that whenever there's a Machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. If that's the case, then why did Rav have to make the statement? Rabbi Yehuda, when the Gemara says, Tarti Lamali, why do I need both statements? So there's one implicit and one explicit statement. One is the implicit statement, which is that whenever there's Machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. And one is the explicit statement of Rav, that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says, why do I need both of those statements? To which the Gemara says, Umay Kusha. What's your problem? Dilma Rav less le lahani klali. It could be that Rav does not hold of the principles of the klali hora, the principles espoused on Amud Beis, and therefore Rav does not automatically say that there is a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir that halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore Rav has to explicitly say that halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Elamiha. So rather, again, I'm also remember we are very singularly focused this morning. We are trying to find Rav Mesharshia's source, Rav Mesharshia's case, for why he rejects the principles of who we paskin like on Mem Vav Amud Beis. So Gemara says, maybe it's from here. This is actually a very interesting case. Hayivama, so I will say, a Yivama is a woman who is waiting for Yibum. Right? Remember, woman is married, husband dies childless, so the halacha is that the surviving brother marries the widow. So my brother marries the widow. That's called so Yivama, woman waiting for Yibum. Lo tachlot velo tesiabem, ad sheyihiyu la shlosha chadoshim. So we'll say the halacha is that a woman who is waiting for Yibum should not do anything. She shouldn't do chalitza, nor should she go ahead and do Yibum until 3 months pass. So we'll say this is a concept called havchana. Havchana means that whenever we have a change in marital status, we always wait 3 months before doing anything, in order to ascertain if the woman is pregnant or not. Because again, obviously, Lemaisa, before she gets remarried, or in this case, before she does Yibum, we want to know, well, certainly before she does Yibum, we want to know if she's pregnant. Because again, if she's pregnant, she's carrying a child of her deceased husband, then what? There would be no din of Yibum. So that's partially true. We'll see if case if she miscarries, there would be Yibum. So we wait 3 months before doing any kind of Yibum and Chalitza. Now, why do you have to wait 3 months before doing Chalitza? Right? Chalitza is the absence of Yibum. So that's because Yibum and Chalitza really are two sides of the same coin. They're both called part of the Yibum process. The Gemara essentially says, we wait 3 months before doing anything with Yibum. V'chein shar kol anoshim. And this is true with all other women. Lo yinasu v'lo yisarsu ad sheyihu yachiyu lohen shlosha chadoshim. And the truth is, it's no different with any other woman who has a change in marital status, that she shouldn't do anything. Lo yis nasu, which means nisuin, lo yis arsu, there shouldn't be any erusin, until 3 months have passed. Until 3 months have passed. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Actually, the first white line on the bottom of Rashi, Shar kol anoshim, shemet heleid besoch tisha lemisas baila, Safek ben Shivala Achron, Safek ben Tish al Rishon. Uba Inan Havchana. Alright, so both says the Gemara just points out because if she gets married very quickly, there's always the possibility that if she gives birth, let's say within sometime within 9 months after getting married, there's a suffix. Is this a 9 month baby from her new husband? Is it a 7 month baby from her previous husband? Okay, so she waits 3 months. Echad besulos, ve'echad beulos, echad almanos, ve'echad gerushos. This is true whether she's a besula, meaning let's say her husband died while she was an arusa, right, even before nisuin occurred, or it's true whether she's a beulah, meaning her husband died after nisuin, whether she's an almana, whether she's a grusha, whether she's an arusa, whether she's an isua. It's another way of saying low plug. Chazal created this 3 month period called avchana. That's whenever you have a change in marital status, we wait 3 months before getting remarried. Fine. Rabbi Huda says, well, no. Nisuos yisarsu, the arusos yinasu. Rabbi Huda says that if she was married, meaning she had nisuin, that although she can't get remarried within 3 months, you know what she can do? They can do erusin. So she gets divorced and then she meets someone else a month after she gets divorced. So lamaisa, she can't get married. She can't do nisun. She can't live with her new husband. But they can do erusin. And if a woman got divorced from erusin, meaning she never lived with her husband, then Rabbi Huda holds that she can mamish, literally get married, fully remarried, even within 3 months. Why? Because according to Rabbi Huda, the whole point of Havchana was to see whose baby it was, but if she never lived with her husband, there's no chashash that she's pregnant from husband number one, therefore she can get remarried. Chutz me'arusa shebi Yehuda, mepnei shelibo gaspa. With the exception of a woman who had erusin in Yehuda. So Yehuda refers to part of Eretz Yisrael, the tribal area of Yehuda. In our Amud Yomi days, we saw this in Gittin and in Kiddushin, that in Yehuda, they used to allow Chassan and Kala to be alone together. So because of that, in Yehuda, there was always a chashash that the couple had engaged in relations even prior to Nisuin. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that Lemaisa, when I told you that an Arusa, who let's say gets divorced, can go ahead and get even remarried within 3 months, that's only an Arusa, not from Yehuda. But if she's from Yehuda, Liba Gaspa means because they may have had a relationship, she has to wait 3 months. Rabbi Yossi says, Kala Noshim Yisarsu. Rabbi Yossi says, the truth is, as much as within 3 months, a woman can't get remarried, Nisuin, but all women can engage in Erusin, Chutz Min Ha'amana, Mipnei Ibo, with one exception, and that's the Amana. Why? Because the Amana is in Avelos. Now, both said, remember, an Amana is only in Avelos for Shloshim. So even that would not make her wait the full 3 months, it would make her wait a month. Va'aminan, and we said, Rabbi Eliezer, Va'aminan, Rabbi lo al lebe midrasha. That one time Rabbi did not go to the base medrash. Ashkechel Rabbi Asi, the have a coin, and he found Rabbi Asi was there. Amarle my amar be midrasha. So he said to Rabbi Asi, tell me what did they learn in the base medrash? Amarle, and Rabbi Asi responded, halacha amar Rabbi Yochanan, halach Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yochanan said that halacha follows Rabbi Yosi. Right? Rabbi Yosi is of the opinion who says that all women could go ahead and get remarried. Or I should say, can engage in erusin, except the almana who can't. So the halacha is Rabbi Yosi, mechlal di yichida poligale. So this sounds like, again, can we infer from this that it was another individual who argued against him? In that is true. Va'atanya, but we learned harisha haisa redufa lelech lebeis aviyah. We'll say, listen to this. Let's say you had a case of a woman who spent a lot of time in her parents' house. Right. Okay, so sometimes the kala needs to go home a lot. So what happens if you have a case of where the wife spent an incredible amount of time in her father's home? Oh, which I will say is another way of saying she really wasn't living with her husband all that much. Osha haisa la kas in baila, or she had a very cantankerous marriage with her husband, right? Or her husband was old or was sick. Rabbi said all of these cases is what is there's assuming there's no real physical relationship, either because she's not home, right, she's at her father's house more, or because they're always fighting, or because her husband is old and infirm, in which case again there wouldn't be relations. Or maybe she was sick, or akara zikena kitana va'ilanis. Or I will say, for that matter, she was sick. Right? We had that case. Good. Akara, she's barren. Zikena, she's old. Kitana, she's young. island is Rabbi Yossi usually refers to someone who lacks the proper organs to be able to conceive. All of these cases, Rabbi Yossi says, where there's no real concern that she's going to be pregnant. Right? Or that's what happens. Or that her husband was incarcerated. He wasn't home. Or hamapelas la'achra misas baila. Or she miscarries after her husband dies. So I'll say, if she miscarries after her husband dies, that's a pretty clear indication that what? That she's no longer pregnant. Then, in all of these cases, still, tzrichin lahamtin gimel chadashin div Rabbi Meir. Still, she has to wait 3 months. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Because also, Rabbi Meir just says, it's what's called the low plug in halacha. In halacha, we just say, whenever you come out of a marriage, you got to wait 3 months. Whatever, whether you can or can't be pregnant, even if mamish is absolutely no way you can be pregnant, that's the halacha, wait 3 months. Rabbi Yossi permits, the ares uli nase miyad. And Rabbi Yossi allows you to go ahead and do erisin and nisuin immediately. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi holds in this case that what? In this case that Lenaisa, since there's no possible way that she's pregnant, there's no, the din of Havchan Rabosa is to determine is a woman pregnant for marriage number one or for marriage number two. If we know already she's not pregnant for marriage number one, let her get married. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, right. So the Gemara says, Lamali, so why do I need that? Why do I need the statement to tell me, remember, also going back up before, so Rebbe couldn't go to the Beis Medrash, he asked Rabbi Asi what happened in the Beis Medrash, and Rabbi Asi said, they said the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan. Excuse me, the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, Lamali, why do we need an explicit statement to tell me that the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi? After all, Vaha Amrit, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. I will say, again, you see what the Gemara is asking over and over and over again. Why do I even have to make the explicit statement who the halacha follows? Using the principles espoused on then Vav Amud Beis, all I need to do is what? Look at the sugya, and then compare it to my list of names, and I will know that whenever there is a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. To which the Gemara says, Umay Kushya, what's the question? Dilma la'afuke midrav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Maybe the halacha comes to exclude, maybe the reason they had to state it was because there is another opinion. And the other opinion is the name of Rav Nachman and the name of Shmuel, who says, the Amar, halachik Rabbi Meir b'gzeirosav. That the halacha follows Rabbi Meir in matters of rabbinic decrees. That however Rabbi Meir understands halacha in the matter of rabbinic decrees, the halacha follows him. Since Rabbi Meir is of the opinion over here, that's what? That you have to go ahead and wait 3 months no matter what. I might have thought that the halacha follows him. Therefore, they had to say explicitly in the Beis Medrash that what? That the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Also, by the way, the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Yossi. The halacha happens to follow Rabbi Meir. I guess that's the greatest raya that we don't hold the Rav Misharshi. The Rav Misharshi was right, the principles don't apply. But okay. Another time. We'll get to these sugyas in our journeys through Shas. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Elameha. Rather, it must be that Rav Misharshi rejects the principles espoused on the based on the following case. Another very interesting case. The truth is, I have to say, I think these Gemaras are a lot of fun. Because the truth is that you get to see all of these sugyas from all over the place. You know, because the Gemara's mom is like, look at everything we've seen so far. We've got Yibum, now we're going to get a little Avodah Zorah. Mom is all before 6:30. You get the Yibum, Avodah Zorah. So the Gemara says like this, Elamehad Desan, Yehochen Li Yerid Shal Nachri. You can go, or we'll say, a Yerid is like a fair. You can go to a Yerid, a fair, a Gentile fair, the lochin mehem behema, the avadim ushvachos batim v'sados ukranim. So we'll say you can go to the fair and you could purchase all of these items from an anju, and animals, servants, maidservants, homes, fields, vineyards. And I will say the chap over here in telling me that I could go to the yerid. If you look at Rashi says yerid, three lines up from the bottom. Shuk hanik v'liyom chag shal goyim. The chap over here is like this. When do they set up these fairs? They usually set up these fairs on some type of idolatrous holiday. So I might have thought that I shouldn't go to the fair on the idolatrous holiday. Why? Because when they go ahead and they do business with me and they profit, who are they going to thank? They're going to thank their Avodah Zarah. And so to a certain degree, I'm contributing to their Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Kamashon, you're allowed to. Rashi points out over here, Mipnei Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Because Rav Osai, if you look at the things that they were selling, so leaving aside the servants, they often sold homes, fields, and vineyards. This is talking about Eretz Yisrael. So because, again, by buying these items, I solidify Jewish presence in Eretz Yisrael. I buy up real estate. See, are they going to give thanks to their Avodah Zarah? It's quite possible, maybe even probable. But because, again, I can contribute to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you can go ahead and do it. Fine. And I would say that's the secondary. The Kosev, now, not only that, I write shtaras with them, right? Meaning, because they both say, the idea is that you want to get all the transactions in writing. Umale ba'ar kolos shalohem. And I could even bring those documents to their courts. Now, I will say, the chap over there is like this. Even though, ultimately, by going to their courts, right, I'm also perhaps contributing to idolatry. The assumption I will say, the Gemara always operates with, is you have to realize something. Idolaters are very frum. Idolaters are very frum. What do I mean by that? I will say that idolaters, that's why if you, idolaters, every single thing that goes right, they manage to give hodah to their idols. To the point that even when I use idolatrous court, it's, you know, mamish, like, hold la avol the zara, you know, the Jews are coming to the court, it's beautiful, mekadesh shem avol the zara. So to me, I might have thought that, therefore, the Jews should not really engage in these processes because I'm bolstering their belief, right? It's amazing. Even for the nations of the world, the Jew doesn't want to have a hand in bolstering erroneous beliefs. But I might have thought that I shouldn't engage in these processes because I'm bolstering their idolatrous beliefs. Kamash Shalom, this is the only way to solidify the transactions. Because it's the only way to solidify the transactions, I'm permitted to do it. Mipneshu Kamatzel Miyadon. Literally, when it says, because it's like you're saving the object, what it means is that if you don't use their shtaros, and if you don't have shtaros that could stand up in their courts, you know what's going to happen? If they ever challenge your ownership, what are you going to do? You're going to take them to Beis Din? Right, you're going to take him to, you're going to assemble three dayanim and what? You're not going to get anywhere. In order for your claims to be able to be legitimate, you have to do it in accordance with their standards, even though it may turn out that they're going to give hodah to their avodah zarah. Fine. So the Gemara goes back to Vim Hoya Kohen. Now, Rav said this is all part of the same Braisa. This Gemara over here is quoting from a Gemara Moed Katan. So this is all part of the same Braisa. And if the purchase, right, if a person was a Kohen, metame b'chutza la'aretz ladun ula'ar'er himahen. And if I was a Kohen, then what could I do? I can go ahead and, let's say I bought something from the non-Jew, and now they're contesting my claim. I can even travel to chutz la'aretz to go ahead and adjudicate the case. So we'll say, what's the novelty in that? Remember, there is a rabbinic tumah on chutz la'aretz. Right, rabbinic tumah and chutz la'aretz. The Chazal decreed that because in chutz la'aretz they weren't always very makpid in marking graves properly, therefore there's rabbinic tumah and chutz la'aretz. The Gemara says that a Kohen who bought property from a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael, that if the claim is contested, he can even travel to chutz la'aretz to go ahead and what? To defend his claim, even though and by doing so he will contract rabbinic tumah. Well, k'shem shemetame b'chutz la'aretz, in the same way that the coin can become tamei in chutz la'aretz, kach metame b'beis akvaras. So to a coin, bless you, so to a coin can even travel into a cemetery in order to go ahead and solidify his claim. One second. Beis akvaras, sakadaitu, tumetaraisihi. Really? A coin can go into a cemetery to uphold a property claim against a non-Jew? That's tumetaraisa. And none of the rest, I'm sorry, let me clarify. Ella, the base hapras dirabanan. Rather, the Gemara says, no. You know what you can do? You can walk into a base hapras. Also, remember the base hapras case? It's a field in which there was a grave. That was got it. And what happened? And it was plowed over. So now there's a chashash, that's what? That there might be bone fragments. I remember a bone fragment can convey to him even just a small amount. So remember how the coin walks to the base hapras? It's better clear his schedule for the rest of the day. How does the coin walk to the base hapras? Takes a step. Sometimes it's going to be a slow boat to China, but the point is he can get through. He can do it. So, meaning, even if he has to go through a base hapras, he's permitted to do that. I'm about to listen to this. So the Gemara says, not only that, right? Umetame lisa isha. You know what else? Let's say the Kohen could go to Chutz La'aretz to be metame himself to get married. Right? Let's say there's a wonderful shidduch in Chutz La'aretz. So even though in doing so he's going to become tame, he could go to get married. The Lilbo Torah. And if there's a great yeshiva for him in Chutz La'aretz, he also can go and be metame himself. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Emosai. Rabbi Yehuda says, when is this true? Bizman she'ein motzi lilmod. This is only true if there's no yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda says. Ava motzi lilmod lo yitama. Right? But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not true. But if there's a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, so come on, let's go to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Listen to this. Rabbi Yossi says, no. Af bizman she'motzi lilmod nami yitama. Such a beautiful Gemara. So Rabbi Yossi says, not true. even if there is a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, if the Kohen feels that it's best for him to go to Chutz Laaretz to learn, he's permitted to do so. Why? Because he listened to the underline this, Lefi She'ein Min Kakol Zocha Adam Lilmot. Because Rabotai, you know what the most important thing in learning is? The most important thing in learning is your Rebbe. And the truth is, not every person doesn't connect with every single person to serve as their Rebbe. So the Rabotai, it's not a function of just having access to Torah, it's a function of having access to a Rebbe. So the Maisa says the Gemara, if that person is going to be my Rebbe, that person is in Chutz La'aretz, Rabbi Yossi says, even though there are many good Rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael, meaning objectively on paper, there might be very good, I would take even a step further, even if objectively the Rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael are better Rebbeim, but it's not about better or worse in a klal, it's about better or worse in a prat. That for me, the Rebbe I need is in Chutz La'aretz, and says Rabbi Yossi, I can even go into the tomb of Chutz La'aretz to learn. But Amar Rabbi Yossi, I will say, by the way, although the Gemara doesn't say here explicitly, the same logic also goes for marriage, right? There might be shidduchim in Eretz Yisrael, but at the end of the day, if the shidduch is, if Miss is right, or hopefully she's not Mrs. Right, she should be, still be Miss Right, right, the friend of shidduchim, right? If Miss Right, right, we'll get to those sugis also, right? If Miss Right, again, isn't Chutz La'aretz, then Lemaisa, again, also same logic would apply, I'd be permitted to go out and go out. So Mar Sivah Amr Rabbi Yossi, Maisa Yosef HaKohen, listen to this. There was an episode with Yosef HaKohen, Shahalach Itzel Rabbo Litzidon Vilmo Torah. So he went to his Rebbe in Sidon. So Rabbo said, Sidon is Sidon, is Lebanon. Lebanon. Now, just to point out to you, Sidon was once upon a time a part of Eretz Yisrael under David HaMelech, but then again, during this time, it was no longer really part of Eretz Yisrael. So the point is, he went to Chutz La'aretz to learn, and what happened? Va'am Rabbi Yochanan, Limo Torah. So the Gemara just tells a story of how Yosef HaKohen went to Sidon to learn Torah. So it's just a Maiseh Shehoya, just a Maiseh Shehoya, that Mamish, she went to Chutz La'aretz to learn Torah. Okay. Va'am Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yochanan said, the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. So what's right? Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion who holds that you could travel to Chutz La'aretz to go out and learn, even though what? Even though there are yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, if the right yeshiva, the right Rebbe for me is in Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara says, V'am Rabbi Yochanan, halacha Rabbi Yossi, the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. What's the one saying? V'lamali. But why do you have to make that statement? V'ha Amrit, Rabbi Hudav Rabbi Yossi, halacha Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi, again. If we have the principles of Horah, if we have the rules of how we pass it on Pimam Vav Amud Beis, then why do you have to make the definitive statement that Allah follows Rabbi Yossi? After all, what do we know? We know that whenever there's a dispute between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi, that Allah follows Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Abaye, it's Tzrich. Abaye says, no, here you really have to say it. Why? I might have thought, that's only true in a Mishnah. Then when do we say machlokes in Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda? The halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. That's when they argue in the Mishnah. Maybe the rules of a braisa, which this is, maybe the rules of a braisa are different. Therefore, kamashmala not so. Kamashmala. Therefore, the Gemara says that the Gemara has to say over here that the halacha does indeed follow Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says elohachi kamar. So we'll say now. Essentially, remember, Rabbi Masharshia said that the principles of Mevava and Beis don't apply. We've tried to bring case after case after case. Now the truth is, we are even though poor Rav Masharshia, we cannot defend his position, but this was great for us because we got to see all of these incredible sugyas. But at the end of the day, we still don't know why Rav Masharshia rejects the principles, because no one case that he brought up, that the Gemara brought up, seems to back up this assertion that the principles don't apply. Rather, the Gemara says, "Elohi kamar, hani klala lav divrei hakol minu." The harav less they lahani klali. So rather, what Rav Masharshia really meant to say about was the following: not that the principles are not true, but what? Not everyone subscribes to these particular principles. Why? Because most, if you remember again, the one thing we did see is that Rav himself rejects the principles. That Rav himself does not also. All Rav Masharshia was not trying to debate the legitimacy of the principles, or Rav Masharshia was just saying that Gemara, you made it sound like everybody agrees with it, just for the sake of full disclosure, not true, not everybody agrees with it, Rav doesn't agree with it, Rav Masharshia doesn't agree with it, but a lot of others do. Okay. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. I will say back to Erevin. Cheftzei nachrin ein konin shvisa. The objects of a non-Jew do not acquire a makum shvisa. So I will say, what does that mean? What does that mean? So that means that lemaisa. So remember, we've established already before that my objects acquire my same tchum. My same tchum. So that what that means, I will say very importantly. So, for example, if I were to lend you an object on Shabbos, even though you're now the borrower of it, lemaisa, you can only take that object where, wherever I can go. I, the owner of the object, my objects have my tchum. So the Gemara now says, the Gemara suggests now that chefzei nachri, the objects of a non-Jew, don't have a tchum. Ein konin shvis, which means they don't have a tchum, which would mean then, for example, if I were to borrow an object from, let's say, my non-Jewish neighbor, that object would have what tchum? It would have my tchum, because it's not bound by the tchum of its Gentile owner. Then obviously you can't get it. This is talking about where I'm getting it. It's in my tchum. The non-Jew is giving it to me. I'm borrowing it from him. So the question is, what tchum does it have? So you can't get it.
By saying your objects have your tchum, what happens?
So you can't get it. How are you going to get it? You can't reach it.
No one can touch it.
I can't. You're asking for other people?
Yeah.
Other people can't take it either because it's not accessible. It's not accessible to me. It's not accessible to anybody else. So the Gemara says, Leman, so whose opinion does this reflect? If you want to say it's the Rabbanon, Pshita, that's obvious. Why? Hashta chefze hefker de leslu bailim ein konin shvisa. So Rabbo say, if chefze hefker, which, remember, this is going back to the Mishnah, if chefze hefker, according to the Rabbanon, that don't have owners, don't require makum shvisa, chefze nochri de isluhu bailim miboy. So Rabbo say, again, if chefze hefker, which don't have owners, don't require makum shvisa, then chefze nochri, which do have bailim, and by the way, parentheses, which do have bailim who are not governed by the laws of Erevin, of course also don't require makum shvisa. Ela alibut Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rather, it must reflect the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Kamash Malon, and therefore the Gemara is teaching us, is Amar, the Kamash Malon Amar, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, konin shvisa, hani mili chefze hefker, de les lu bailim. Then when does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri state his position? We'll say that's chefze hefker. So chefze hefker, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, ownerless objects, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, shvisa. Why? Because there are no owners. And because there are no owners, where the keli is, that becomes its makom shvisa, and the kli itself has 2,000 amos from there. Aval chefzei anochri de islu bailim lo. But again, objects owned by a non-Jew, and they obviously, again, they have an owner, so therefore, again, they don't establish, they're not given an automatic makom shvisa. So the word says, Meisve, we raise a kasha to this. Rabbi Shimon al-Azhar says, Hashua mi kli min anochri bi yom tov. If somebody borrows a utensil, I borrow a kli from my Gentile neighbor on Yom Tov, the chinam mashil lo lenochri kli me'erev Yom Tov, or what happens? Or I go ahead and I lend a nochri a kli on erev Yom Tov, v'chziru lo b'yom tov, and the nochri gives me back the kli on Yom Tov, or v'hakelim v'otzros sheshavsu b'socha tchum, or we'll say for that matter, kelim and otzros, Rashi seems to understand, are hefker utensils that were within the tchum on Shabbos. The halacha is, yesh lahem apayim amo l'chol ruach. They have 2,000 amos in every direction. The nochri shehevi lo peros. So here's what's interesting. So case number one is, I'm borrowing a kli from a nochri on Yom Tov. So what's the halacha? The halacha is they have 2,000 amos in every direction, which is another way of saying that the kli has essentially my tchum. However, the hanochri, just lost the place here. A good v'nochri shehevi lo peros. V'nochri shehevi lo peros mechutz l'tchum. And if a nochri brought in peros from outside of the tchum, hare ze lo yazizam mimkoman. You should not move them from their spot. So this is an interesting case. Now, a nochri is bringing peros from outside of the tchum. So now, when the peros come in, I can't move them at all. So the Gemara says, I amrit bishlama kasav Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, chefzei nochri konin shvisa. So we'll say, if you say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri holds, that even the objects of a nochri acquire a mokum shvisa, then what? Hamani Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri hi. Then that last statement makes sense. Why? Because if the kelim of a nachri acquired makom shvisa, and then the nachri brought them from outside of his tchum, then what? Then those are objects outside of a tchum, and therefore what can I do with it? Pretty much nothing. I mean, I could eat, remember, you could eat it right there. You could eat it right on the spot, but you're not be able to move it. So the Gemara says, Elo I amrit kasav Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri chefzei anachri ein konin shvisa. But if you want to say that the objects of a nachri do not acquire makom shvisa, then what? then what? Hamani. Then whose opinion does this reflect? Lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Rivi, lo Rabban. It's not Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, and it's not the rabbis. To which the Gemara says, no. The Olam Kasav Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, Cheftzei Nachri Konin Shvisa. We'll say, listen to this. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri holds that the objects of a non-Jew do in fact acquire Makom Shvisa. Which means, Rabbi will say, what? Which means that the objects of a Nachri also have a Tchum. Also have a Tchum. Which then means that if a Nachri brings his objects from outside his Tchum into my Tchum, and they're outside of the original Tchum, then what? I would not be permitted to move those objects. We'll see why. Ushmuel Amar Karabanon, and Shmuel holds the Kohen Rabbanon, the Chefsei Nachri, don't acquire Makom Shvisa. Udika Amrit Rabbanon Pshita, Maudit, now that you're saying the Kohen Rabbanon, then that's obvious. Maudit him, what would I have thought? Gezerah Bailim de Nachri, Atu Bailim de Yisrael Kamashwan. I might have thought Rabbi Osai, that maybe the Rabbanon would say that we should impose a Tchum on the objects of a non-Jew in order that what? In order that you not confuse them with the objects of a Jew. Kamashla that the Rabbanon don't agree with that. V'Rab Chia bar Avin Am Rabbi Yochanan, Cheftzei Nachri Konin Shvisa, Gzeira Bailin De Nachri, Atu Bailin De Yisrael. And Rabbi Osai says Rabbi Yochanan, no, that the halacha actually is that the objects of a non-Jew do in fact acquire a Tchum. Why? But I will say, if you think about it, it's so counterintuitive, because a Nachri is not bound by Tchum, right? A non-Jew is not bound by the strictures of Shabbos, but yet we say that the objects of a non-Jew also have a Tchum. I will say, the only time that it has ramifications is when the Nachri were to bring his objects from outside of the Tchum, right? I say outside of quote-unquote his Tchum, into my Tchum, but let's say my Tchum is already outside of 2,000 pounds from his Tchum, I would not be permitted to move those objects, right? Why? Gezerah Bailim de Nachri Atu Bailim de Yisrael. Because we're concerned that if there's one set of principles regarding the objects of a Jew and a non-Jew, that what's going to happen, or a non-Jew and a Jew, you're going to confuse them. And therefore you're going to think that in the event that the objects of a Jew were brought from outside of the Tchum, that you could also use those. Therefore says Rabbi Yochanan, we say that the objects of a non-Jew have a Tchum as well, in order that you not make a mistake when it comes to the objects of a Jew. So we'll say, what that would mean, just lemaisa, so you understand it, is, let's say somebody brought the objects of a Jew. Let's say Reuven lives outside of my Tchum, but someone brought his objects into my Tchum. So the halacha is I can't move those objects at all, because lemaisa, they're outside of the Tchum. Remember, the Tchum, the objects acquire the Tchum of the owner. So once they're out of the Tchum of the owner, they're not usable. So in order not to confuse the case of the objects of a Jew, we're also gozer on the objects of a non-Jew. So just like the objects of a Jew have a Tchum, the objects of the non-Jew have a Tchum also. The Gemara gives an illustration of this case. With this, we'll stop. Hano dichri da'asu limivrachta. So there were rams that were brought. This is a Yom Tov case. There were rams that were brought to the city of Mevrachta. So these were non-Jewish rams. Yes, they were not Jewish rams, right? They were rams brought by a non-Jewish merchant into the city of Mevrachta. Sharluhu Rava libnei Mechuzah lemizman minayu. So Rava allowed the residents of Mechuzah to buy the rams. Now, say, what's the chiddush of this? Rashi points out that Mechuzah was already outside of the Tchum. Was already outside of the Tchum of the Nachrim. Now remember, the truth is, the case over here is the Nachrim, when they brought these goats or these rams into Mevrachta, it was already outside of the Tchum. Meaning the Nachrim had already brought these rams from more than 2,000 amos away. And yet, Rava allowed residents of Mechuzah to go ahead and purchase the rams and take the rams back to their city. Amrali Ravina the Rava. So Ravina said to Rava, "My daitech, what are you thinking? Meaning, what's your opinion?" Damrav Hudam Rishmuel Cheftzei Nachri in Konin Shvisa. You must hold that the objects of a non-Jew do not acquire a damas. Meaning, are not bound by tchum, and therefore, even though these Nachrim brought these rams more than 2,000 amos away, it's okay. V'hashmuel Rabbi Yochanan halach Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Yochanan if machlokes tin Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan da halacha falls Rabbi Yochanan. V'amrav Chiyav Avin Amrav Rabbi Yochanan Cheftzei Nachri Konin Shvisa. So yet Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that what Rabbi Osai, that the objects of a non-Jew do in fact acquire a tchum. They're bound by 2,000 amos. Gzeira bailim de Nachri atu bailim de Yisrael. Why? Not because non-Jews are bound by tchum, but because we're concerned that if you don't give the objects of a non-Jew a tchum, people will mix that up and assume that the objects of a Jew don't have a tchum either. To which the Gemara says, Hada amarava lizdabinhu libnei mervachta. Dekula mervachta ledido kidalat amazan. So Rava reversed his psak, and Rava said, I'm sorry, residents of Mechuza, you may not take those rams back to Mechuza. Rather, what did he say? He said that the residents of Mevrachta could buy the rams. Aye, but remember, when an object is taken out of its tchum, you only have Dalet Amos to transport it in. See, Paskin, that all of Mervachta was considered to be like what? One area of Dalet Amos. And therefore, again, because these are objects now taken out of their tchum, only the residents of Mervachta, which is the place to which the rams were brought, were able to purchase it. But you don't have to keep it in the Dalet Amos to which you purchased it. Mervachta is considered to be like one big Dalet Amos, and therefore the residents of Mervachta could take the newly purchased rams anywhere they want within the city. So we'll say Lemaisa, we'll see that the Gemara actually will paskin that Chafzei Nachrim have a Tchum, that really the objects, the possessions of a non-Jew are governed by a Tchum as well, and therefore Lemaisa, if they were taken outside of the Tchum, they would be limited to a space of Dalet Amos. We'll continue this segment tomorrow.